What's up, everyone? Howdy. That's the way we're gonna start this off. Howdy. Well, howdy there, partner. Okay. I'm out of my element now. That's how 90% of people around me talk. And I'm back. It's Blue Devil Dive. The team looked very good, and I really think the team's good. That's our episode, and I will talk to you next week. Goodbye. Just kidding again. Yeah, so here we are. I'm back. I think the last time I did one was when? July or June or something like that. And yeah, it took a while, but that's because I just, you know, whatever. I went to Countdown. I was going to do some stuff then. Just was very busy, and Countdown was cool. When Zion didn't do the dunk contest, or, you know, the team didn't, I was very sad. And, you know, so that happened. But that was very fun. Shout out to Matt and Elena and Rachel and Presley and everybody that went. That was dope. Also, Tuesday night was dope when they played Kentucky. PayPal Cal, I saw somebody say that. That was funny, too. Salty Calipari, like salty calamari, you get it, yeah. It was insane. I felt good the whole time before the game. During the game, it was like taking ecstasy or something. I've never done that. I wouldn't know. Just hear it in the rap songs. Anyways, I'm not going to talk too much about it because I did a little phone conversation with my friend Cam Etzler. He was at the game. We talked. I talked shit about phone interviews, quality wise. I won't know until I post it. It should be fine. But we covered everything. I mean, everything and then some. So if that works like it did, we'll do plenty more of those. We'll just see. I'm going to play it now. Other than that, we'll be back next week. Duke will play, as we talked about in the interview or conversation, whatever, Sunday and then Wednesday. So we'll be back next week. Other than that, I appreciate everybody listening. We're back consistent, and I'm back on the Duke basketball train is back, and I'm so happy about it. It's like a missing piece in my life during the summer. Although busy with life during the summer, it's still, there's nothing better. So that's that, and I'm pretty sure everybody feels the same as I do, that the team is insane. Like, I can't wait to see how they continue to develop, and yeah. Follow my social media, and if you enjoy this, I'm glad you enjoy it. Here's my phone conversation, and I hope you enjoy it as well. We'll be back soon, and hope everybody has a great week, and go Duke, and Zion Williamson is very good, by the way, and RJ Barrett is very good, and Trey Jones is very good. Duke basketball is very good. Here's my conversation, and yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm here with my... Are we friends? Would you say we're friends?
Yeah, newly found friends.
We've been friends for 10 years. It's like my brother. No, just kidding. I'm here with my friend Cam Etzler. I will link his social media in the description if he wants me to. We will see how that goes. I'm doing this phone conversation. I talk shit about these. So we're going to have to see how that goes as well. Hopefully it goes good because it's a lot easier than flying you out here. So
yeah.
Cheaper. Yeah, exactly. So you went to the game, right?
I was at the game, yes.
And just from a TV standpoint, it looked like it was a lot of Kentucky unfortunately, Kentucky fans. Is that translate well to
that? That is 100% accurate. Actually, when when I got my ticket, I was supposed to be in, like, the designated Duke section. But when I showed up, there was probably, in the Duke section, was probably about 75% Kentucky fans. So there are a few Duke fans around me, but not a ton.
I don't understand why they travel so well. Is it because the whole state of Kentucky basically likes Kentucky and we're divided between multiple basketball colleges in North Carolina? Or is it just because mobile home-wise, they all live in mobile homes?
I mean, I think it also helps. It's like a 2.5-hour drive to Indy. So I like the people that were sitting next to me. They're like, yeah, we took half days and we just hit the bars the entire afternoon. So, I mean, more power to them if they can do that.
I didn't even think about that because I know, what was it, last year it was in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
So I thought it was in Chicago the whole time, and then I kept seeing Indy signs, and I was like, what's going on? And then I figured it out.
Yeah, I went to it when it was in Indy 4 years ago. It was the national championship year, and when Duke played Michigan State, and there were a ton of Kentucky fans there too. It was probably about 90% Kentucky that year.
That's like the most unfortunate. I know maybe three Kentucky fans who aren't the most obnoxious humans I've ever met, but the rest of them are so bad. It's so bad. And they haven't even barely won anything in the past like 25 years.
Yeah, they were pretty quiet on Tuesday night though.
Yeah, you sent me a little video of them getting out of there like 15 minutes left in the second half.
15-minute mark. People were filling the aisles to head to the exits, but there was actually a lot of people that left at halftime too because they're up 20. So it got a little bit quieter from their standpoint. So that means the Duke fans got a little bit louder.
Exactly. Yeah, we stick around. As far as before the game, like. Usually before a game like that, I usually feel, I'm not nervous, but as far as for the game, I feel like there's a fair chance they might take a L. First game of the season, new freshman, things like that. This year, I never felt like that. I just felt like they were going to stomp Kentucky or either they were going to win. I felt 100% confident. I didn't know much about Kentucky, but I knew they didn't have Zion or RJ Barrett. I knew what I had seen from Duke, and I just felt like that the entire time. It never slipped into my mind otherwise. Did you have similar feelings, or going to the game, did you have different nerves?
It was a little bit mixed. I knew kind of what Kentucky had, especially with like Reed Travis being a grad transfer, and then everything you hear about Tyler Hero, and then Kelvin Johnson coming in, and PJ Washington too coming back from last year. So I kind of knew what Kentucky was working with. Watching the exhibition games and the games in Canada earlier this year, I had a pretty good like estimation of how things would work out. It would be a lot of shots with RJ and Zion. So just kind of praying that they were going to have a hot hand that night. But I really wasn't super nervous, and yeah, it's kind of rare for me to feel like that. And I agree with you where you're kind of preparing for the worst and just hoping for the best outcome. But, obviously in the first like 3 minutes, they blitzed them. So, those nerves kind of went by the wayside after that.
Yeah, exactly what you said. And with Duke being like the traditional, just it seems like every team that we've ever had has been that, not ever, but the past 10 years has been that start slow, make you feel like they're terrible, make you feel like they're hungover, and then second half pick it up, come back from 15 down and win. So the blitz at the beginning was a really refreshing thing, and it almost made me nervous as if like, oh, they're going to think they won after the first TV timeout. And for that reason – they're going to slow up and it's going to work the opposite way as it usually works for a Duke team. So seeing that was just like, wow, I could get used to this.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Like I was kind of lost for words. Let's just start. I don't know what I had some notes. I don't know what I was going to start with. I don't know how to work this phone. So other than that, the atmosphere, I went to the game, their tournament game when Tatum was there, when they were playing South Carolina. You know, they lost. It was in South Carolina. Carolina was playing there as well. Mm-hmm. I've been to that game, and I've been to a game at the Dean Dome. And the one in South Carolina, the tournament game, it was the worst ever because it was South Carolina and North Carolina fans. All pulling.
They banded together.
Exactly. So that was the worst I've ever been to. Is this the worst you've ever been to?
That one was pretty bad. I went to IU and Duke last year in Bloomington, and that one was really bad just because IU fans are just relentless. And with Grayson Allen still being there, there was a lot of chant at his expense, especially the patented, you heard that FU Grayson chant. You could probably hear that loud and clear over ESPN, but I would probably say that the IU one was worse just from the standpoint that it was a close game the entire time. That was Archie Miller's first year, and IU's kind of trying to get the win back in their sails to become kind of a college basketball power again, where with this one, Kentucky fans were hyped before the game, and they were pumped. They got some new guys in. Within the first 5-6 minutes, the game was almost over. They'd kind of sucked the life out of them. So from that, I think if it would have been a close game, the entire first half, and they kind of like skated into the second half, I think it would have been a lot more, kind of aggressive behavior by the Kentucky fans, but I didn't think it was too bad.
Yeah. I feel like that Indiana game last year, it translated really well to the TV. You could tell how ruthless the fans were, and I guess the student section as well. It translated really well, so I could understand what you meant by that. Next, how, as far as this goes, you know, Kentucky's a rival. They're not North Carolina. They're not a conference rival. But it is fun because, you know, you might not play Kentucky every year. So in the past, you know, we've took a few L's to Kentucky, most meaningless. Obviously, the most meaningful one was the Christian Laettner win that we had. So we're still holding on to that. And then there was that chance that we were going to meet them, you know, in the championship in 2015 with Tyus and all them. I was a little worried about that, by the way.
Yeah, so was I. Absolutely.
I was like, we're about to get shut down by, like, the better version of our team just because.
Yeah, how, exactly. Not talent-wise.
Yeah, not talent-wise, just how deep and stacked that team was.
Yeah, the platoon system.
Yeah, so I still kind of wish it would have happened, but taking a loss that, it would have broke me. So as far as this goes, like, this given Calipari or Kentucky the worst loss in the Calipari era and everything, where does that rank for you on and being there? Because I'm sure it was, you know, a blowout's not fun to watch, but it's fun if it's Duke stomping another team. It's never boring for me.
No chance.
So where does that rank for you? Like, would you, if you get what I'm saying, like, it's not the greatest thing ever, but it was, because it didn't mean much. But to shut them up, shut the team up, shut the fans up, shut Calipari up, he's running his mouth about Coach K, like, all that, it stacks pretty high for me.
Yeah, and I mean, I especially think, like you touched on, how Calipari in the preseason and kind of in the offseason too, he was getting frustrated that Coach K was basically taking all his recruits, and he has now developed a better version of the one and done, obviously getting the 1, 2, and 3 recruits this year. But I mean, I would have to say that this game up there, obviously, like, witnessing it live was incredible. And I don't know if I've been speechless as many times as I was on Tuesday, where it was just like, these kids are like 17, 18 years old, and they're just, they look like grown men doing this, and it looks effortless. I'd probably have to say the IU one that I went to, growing up in Ohio and then now living in Indiana, that's literally all you hear is Indiana's the mecca of basketball. So just kind of witnessing that and seeing them take a loss in their own gym was a lot of fun. And I think, obviously, like, anytime you play Carolina and you get a Carolina win, like, there's nothing like that.
100%. That's so weird because I know people as well that live up in that Ohio area, and it's such a big Indiana scene. And then me kind of being small world 20 minutes from Durham, like, it's only thing I think about is Duke and North Carolina, and that's all you hear about here. So it's like, it doesn't even register to me about Indiana or even Kentucky half the time. That only registers because Calipari never, like, shuts up. So he's always, like, in the media chirping like a little, you know how he is. He's just salty that Kay is beating him at his own game. And that he's, like, he wants another championship so bad to validate himself, but he can't get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been, like, on the brink of it a few times and then just comes up short.
Exactly. So that's all pretty spot on. I'd have to agree. Anytime you beat Carolina, it's just that's like the highest of highs, and anytime they beat us, it's like the lowest of lows for the next few days.
Yeah. I mean, I still have, like, on Instagram, I still have the post save from SportsCenter and, like, Bleacher Report of Grayson Allen walking off the court of Carolina, and that, like, I looked at it, like, a couple days ago. I was like, oh gosh, it still feels like it was yesterday. Makes you want to get all emotional.
yeah, definitely. Are you talking about the one where Duke won?
Yeah, and he walked off the court the last time and gave Coach K a big hug.
Yeah, that game was insane. That's an underrated game.
That was a wild game.
Because they looked, like I said, traditional Duke, they looked so dead in the first half.
Yeah, it was like a 20-point swing in the second half, I think.
Yeah. Bagley just manned up. Everybody manned up. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We could just go in the history of the past 10 years of Duke and the biggest games. We'll probably be here till tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll miss work if that's the case.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. So we might want to talk about this team because it's definitely the other thing is ESPN now has completely switched on Duke.
Oh, it's unreal.
I hate it. Like, I don't want ESPN bandwagoning on Duke and making, because if I'm looking at it as an outsider, I feel like Duke is the Warriors now, just because if you're not a fan or you didn't ever care about basketball, or you're one of those people who hop on whatever team's, like, popular or fancy or whatever, you are coming to the Duke bandwagon, and I kind of hate it.
Yeah, the bad thing is, we can't really say, oh, you were a fan when they weren't good, because, I mean, I couldn't say the last time they've really been struggling. So it's like, oh shoot, I mean, we're kind of in that same realm. But
that's 100% correct. The way that it's, I don't know, I was born into it, so I'm always gonna stick with that.
Mm-hmm.
My dad actually did like them before they were good, and I don't know how.
Yeah.
I don't even know how he heard of Duke then, but, you know, if you were before the Coach K days, you have my full respect.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, the weird thing is my parents actually named me after Cameron Indoor Stadium, so I feel like I would be doing a disservice to myself not being a full-blown Cameron crazy.
So that's how you were. That's how you were brought into it.
Yeah. I was born into it. My parents were Duke fans, and they were, it was like right before I was born, they heard it on the TV and it kind of clicked with them. So, yep.
That's the best way to do it, because then you can just tell everyone. At least around here, everyone's like, "Oh, you picked the wrong side." I'm just like, I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. And
exactly.
Like, to me around here, I don't know, I've seen that you've been to Cameron before, right?
Yeah. So I've been there probably 3 times, but I went to my first game. It would have been December of 2016. So that would have been Tatum. I think that was actually the first game that Harry Giles played. They played Tennessee State, so that was like, I've been to Cameron, but that was the first game I had actually went to.
Okay, I think that might have been the game. Did he play?
Yeah, he played like a couple minutes. He didn't play a ton, but it was when he was like actually finishing up his rehab and actually, like, getting into the swing of things.
So, I went to a game at Greensboro Coliseum when they played Elon when Grayson tripped Santa Ana or whatever. And that was also, it was either his first game or, like, his second game. And I remember I was sitting right behind the goal, and Harry Giles went up to shoot two free throws because he got fouled. And I was telling Presley, I was like, we're going to witness his first 2 points. And I was like, he's going to be one of the greatest players of all time. Because, I mean, high school-wise, the man was insane.
And he was an animal.
Yeah, and he missed both of them.
Yeah. And I was like, maybe not yet.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he's going to be great, though. And then Grayson tripped that guy. It ended up being an insane game, but it was pretty funny. I still think Harry's going to be good, but that's what I remember.
Kings are young, too. They got a lot of young talent.
Yeah, just no, like, management.
Yeah, none whatsoever.
None. God, where were we anyways? Oh, yeah, so, anyways, what I was saying was, you've been to Cameron, you're named after the stadium, et cetera, et cetera. But around here, like, Carolina, to me, it reminds me of, like, the Dollar General, and then, which is, like, the cheap dollar store. Around here, they're on every single corner. And then Duke is like, reminds me of like the expensive grocery store where every grocery is like 3 times as expensive just because of it's in that grocery store, like Publix or Harris Teeter or something.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that's taking a twist where like you can't get like Duke hoodies and stuff at Walmart, but you can get anything Carolina at like any dollar store. So it's kinda,
like a gas station on the highway or something.
Yeah, it's like the trailer park version of like Duke. that's what it seems like around here. So that's another reason why I make fun of people. Anyways, I just can't wait to stomp them this year. I hope to God.
I'm looking forward to it.
I know. So moving on. This game, God, we gotta talk about this game. That's what I'm here for. I was surprised, first of all, at Jack White.
Absolutely.
I cannot believe – I did not even think he would play that big of a role. I like Jack White. Just when you look at the bench of Delorier, O'Connell, Goldwire, and then Bolden starting, like I wasn't sure he was going to start over Delorier, so that was kind of surprising. You throw all them in there, and then – White leads all of them with 30 minutes.
Yeah.
He actually played more minutes than Zion because Zion got into foul trouble, obviously, early.
Yeah, and he played more than Cam, too.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. And then to snag 11 rebounds and hustle after every loose ball, and even one time, like, I look up and he's skying above everybody on the court for a rebound. If he brings that energy and just stays energetic like that, that's going to be surprising this year.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I think I looked up. It was late first half, early second half, and I think he had like 2 points but 7 boards. And I think he had gotten like 2 or 3 loose balls. I mean, he was literally just all over the place. And I think he... looking at the box score right now, he had 9 points, 11 boards. And I mean, he was literally just everywhere. I feel like every single loose ball he ended up with.
I agree. And that's what this team needs, because you saw like Zion, he got 2 early fouls. And while this team's loaded and talents everywhere and things like that, there were a few little stagnant points in the game, and I was like, oh yeah, Zion's on the bench because he got 2 fouls. And it's in today's time, you know, it's not hard to get 2 fouls in 3 plays.
Oh yeah. And yeah, I think it was like around that third, like right before that third TV timeout, so it would have been the 12 minute mark to 8 minute mark. They were just kind of they didn't really do anything super productive. And I think that's when Zion was out. And I think they were in the middle of, like, rotations. They tried to go to zone defense. And it just, like, it was kind of a dead time. But then they eventually started picking it back up. But, yeah, that foul trouble kind of kind of put a damper on that what their like 65-point anticipated halftime score.
Yeah, I know. And what I was telling everybody else before the game, I was like, Zion is young, aggressive, like hungry, and like I said, young to where he's going to be involved in a lot of defensive plays because he's trying to go up and grab it. He's trying to go up and block it. He's trying to stop you from going where you want to go. And therefore, I could see him picking up two fouls very quickly more times than not. That was like a worry of mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I noticed how like Kentucky was even playing just to kind of stay away from Zion a few times. I mean, I think Kelvin Johnson got in the lane one time and shot a super high, like 3 or 4 foot floater. And I mean, he had to get that thing like over. He got that above like where the glass would be just so that Zion didn't spike it into the fourth row.
Yeah, because whoever it was that got his stuff snatched out of midair became an instant meme. And nobody wants to become an instant meme.
No.
But I did not even know that he shot 11 for 13 from the field.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that. I know that's insane. If he keeps that up, it was almost like at one point he took that three and I was like, oh God. And then it went in and I was like, oh, he can do whatever he wants. And then,
yeah, exactly.
And then there was times where there was just, it was like, oh, the offense is stagnant. He just took one dribble, like a hop step, and it was like, there's nobody near him. They can't stop him.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one thing that I really noticed is when both RJ and Zion, when they started knocking down, RJ hit more threes, obviously, than Zion, because Zion only took that one. But when they started knocking down 18 to 21 footers, then the defense is forced to come out, and then they just do one step, do a move, and then they get to the rim whenever they want, or they draw a foul. So, I mean, they get a cushion originally just because they're so, like, they're known for all their driving, and Zion obviously just able to body literally anyone on the court, and usually two or three at a time. So, I mean, that really opened up the offense because those guys start coming out a little bit harder. That opens up passing lanes, driving lanes, and just kind of tore it down from there.
Exactly that, and like you were saying, getting fouled and the rate of and ones that they were converting, you know, because like it's like sometimes you watch somebody get fouled and then they miss the layup or the shot that they got fouled on, and you're like, you look like you could have made that, but I realize how much getting fouled affects your shot. And
mm-hmm.
with them,
yeah,
it was just like, no, it went in every time.
And I mean there was specifically like the one where Zion snatched that man's shot right out of the air and then came down and just absolutely dropped a dime from, the coaching hash right into RJ's lap and then pushed in the bag and won.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when I think all Kentucky fans, I think I saw some Kentucky fans starting to cheer for that because it was just like, you know what, sometimes it's just not your night. But, those are the ones. I mean, Marquise had the one, he was getting dogged underneath the rim, and he reversed layups from underneath the basket, and, I mean, he even converted on those.
I know, but, that was some fancy shit he did.
I was not expecting that. I was not expecting it.
I know, oh my God, and since we're on the good, let's just, yeah, definitely, that was insane. The way that they started taking a few jump shots, and they stopped falling for a little bit. It might have been when Zion went out with foul trouble or whenever it was, I don't know. And then they went right back to attacking, and they went right back to, you know, really pounding it into the interior to get fouls, get dunks, get layups, get rebounds. And then as soon as they kept doing that, the jumpers opened back up, the wide open shots. Cam hit a few. O'Connell knocked down a few. RJ knocked down a few. And then that opened the lanes back up. They just started, they kept going inside. They never got tired, never got fatigued, never got in love with the lead, the cushion that they had. And it just all just came together. And I was like, just please keep that same energy in these away games on Saturday at 1 p.m. conference games that we blow.
The Boston College game.
Yeah, where they just look drunk the whole game.
Random Clemson games.
Like, keep that same energy. And R.J. Barrett looks like he will really keep that same energy.
Yeah, like, I'm sure you saw the exact same thing where he was coming out of the second half, had 20 ball in the first half, and he looked like that they were down 15, and he had just shot 0 for 10 from the field with 6 turnovers. I mean, he looked like he was about to run through a wall.
Dude, he looked exactly like Game 6, 2012 LeBron against the Celtics. That's the only way I know how to compare it.
I mean, he was a man on a mission in that second half. And obviously, I mean, I think it was a 59-59 split in both halves. So, I mean, they for sure kept that energy. And, I mean, he didn't even play most of the second half.
They also – yeah, he didn't. He took 26 shots. I'm fine with that. I can't believe I'm saying that. He – I'm not comparing him to Jason Tatum, but he kind of reminds me of Jason Tatum a little bit, to where, like, and it's just like, I prefer him, and I don't even know how to say it. Just if he keeps it up, if he stays not fatigued, because I think Tatum could have done that towards the end of the year too, but I think he looked tired towards the end of the year.
Yeah, because that was a long year.
It was a long year.
I just felt like they dealt with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and it was like right when they started picking up, you know, they started picking up that forward moving progress that they had, where they started looking better. They beat Carolina in the ACC tournament, I think. And then they made it to the championship. They lost, right? Didn't they lose? Or they won the ACC championship. They won the ACC championship.
Yeah, did they beat Carolina in the?
I think so.
In the championship?
No, I don't, dude. I can't remember. Whoever wants to correct me, that's fine.
Yeah.
I can't remember though. I thought they beat Clemson in the finals. I may be completely wrong. I don't care at this point. So.
They beat Notre Dame.
God, they make it every year.
They do, because Duke had to win 4 straight, and they beat Clemson, Louisville, Carolina, and then Notre Dame.
Yeah, and that killed them fatigue-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
they were short as it was before that.
Yeah, they had injured Harry Giles, tired Frank Jackson, tired Luke Kennard, tired Jason Tatum, and whatever Matt Jones was. AKA
set shots in the corner.
Yeah, all effort, no. I don't even know. I'm not gonna go there. He was an awesome dude. He was an awesome dude. He just when the ball would swing to him, I would be depressed. Like, I just had to. But yeah. So if he can go through it, and the thing is like, they're playing defense. That team was not.
Mm-hmm.
That team was not always even close to locking in on defense.
Well, last year, I mean, they couldn't guard their shadow if they wanted to.
They could not. That was just so disappointing.
And that's what, I mean, I was kind of surprised that Kay went with a little zone. It was before the first TV timeout. They came out randomly out of a timeout, or if it was a dead ball situation, and they came out in the zone defense. And, I mean, I think at that point they had already had a double-digit lead. I'm sitting up there thinking, I mean, obviously that man knows what he's doing. He's proven that a couple times. But, I mean, you're working well with your defense. A lot of people are flying around. I mean, they're getting in passing lanes, and they're forcing tough shots. Why mix it up? But, I mean, I think they went back, I think, the next possession back to man.
Yeah.
Then – bounce into zone a couple times, which I understand, like, change of pace, keeping the offense kind of on their toes. But at the same time, I mean, if you're killing it on defense with just straight man, stick with it.
Yeah, definitely. I need, like, it's a must that they can play man defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then secondly, if they're well versed and can switch to zone if things get crazy, and it'll get them through to where they're playing actual zone, not lazy zone. I'm cool with that too, but man is a must. And it looked like they can play man. So that's a good that's a good first test. Then so I'm happy with the defense. The things that I one other thing I'm happy about before we get to the things that piss me off, which is like two things. trade, and then the thing that I also saw that was impressive was how we have multiple people that can push the pace off of a rebound. We have multiple people that can handle the ball during a fast break. Zion's handles impressed me more than I originally thought, because I don't watch a lot until they get to Duke. So I see his dunks, I see his, you know, things like that. But he handles the ball very well too. Like, he doesn't get sloppy with it.
And I mean, I think I noticed the exact same thing where it's just he doesn't waste dribbles. I mean, when he picks a spot where he wants to go, and he's big enough that he'll just use his body and just move you. And that's usually it's like a one hard pound dribble from like the 3-point line or like 18 foot, and he'll get to the basket no problem.
Yeah. And speaking of what you're saying about his body, did you know, because I know you weren't watching it on TV, they dropped a stat when they were talking about him. They said there's only one player in the NBA right now that weighs more than him.
Yeah, it was Boban, wasn't it?
I did not know that was the case. I thought like DeAndre Jordan or somebody weighed more than Zion at this point. I had no idea that there's only one in the NBA right now. And how old is he, 18?
Yeah.
That's really scary.
Yeah, and the fact that he probably has like a 46 to 48-inch vertical too is just, it literally doesn't make sense.
He's an alien. I figured it out. There are aliens.
He is wearing number one in blue.
Yeah. I that blew my mind, dude. I didn't know that. I knew he was gigantic, but I did not know that. He would be an outstanding, like, he could probably be like Cam Newton, only even harder to tackle.
Yeah, could you imagine lining up from him, like, as a tight end or something?
No.
Or, I mean, a wide receiver, a jump ball? I mean, he would make Gronk blush.
Yeah, he would. Gronk's washed now anyway, so. So, yeah. And then the thing I was piggybacking off of that was how we have all those people who can handle the ball, push the pace, even run the point, basically. Not a true point, but handle the ball. But then Trey Jones meshed right in, and it was like he only had 6 points. He had 7 assists, no turnovers, which everybody was all in about, which I'm all in about because that's everything. And it was like even through all the craziness, all the fast breaks and all that, it was like he was still our point guard the whole time.
And I think when they kind of went through their kind of dry spell in that first half, I think that when the offense got stagnant, when they kind of needed a bucket just to calm Kentucky's fans down, kind of kill the momentum for them, I think that it was usually, hey, Trey, go get the ball, like, get us into something, penetrating pitch, just get the offense moving.
And it worked almost every time.
Yeah, and I know we talked about this after the game and then the days leading up to this, is just he didn't look flustered. I mean, it was, every time the ball was in his hand, it seemed like everyone was calm. Everyone was collected, like, hey, let's run something, no problem. Not everyone running around like chickens with their head cut off. And, I mean, obviously, with having four freshmen and having that cohesiveness and being able to, like, have a calming presence out on the floor is huge already.
Yeah, it's game one, and it was one of the biggest stages that any team or game is going to be on this entire year. And not only did he look fine, but everyone looked poised. But most importantly, he did, because obviously you saw how Tyus was. Everyone knows. Like, he was, I mean, you knew he was going to be good.
Jones.
Yeah, you knew he was going to be good. You didn't know he was going to be one of the clutchest players to ever lace up for Duke. And then it's like Trey looked, he looked almost exactly like him out there, just the way he moves and everything.
Yeah, I don't think he's as aggressive on offense, but I also think that when Tyus came in, he obviously had Ja and he had Justice. So they already had some of those guys where it's like, hey, we need you to be that third scorer. That's not necessarily the case for this team because you have Cam, who's a knockdown shooter. You have Zion, who can get to the rim literally whenever he wants.
Yeah.
And you have Zion, and then you have RJ, who, hey, I might shoot over you or I might drive by you, kind of pick your poison.
Yeah, he definitely has more weapons and more just all-around offensive talent around him. And I don't know, Tyus not only was aggressive, but around the rim, he could finish, like, anything, no matter who was there or what was there. I don't know if Trey's the same way. I don't know if he has to be. I imagine he's pretty good, though. I know he missed that layup. I don't know what he was trying to do on that fast break, but that kind of stuff happens.
He was just trying to get a putback dunk for Zion.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, he meant to do that. but as far as him, I'm interested to see how those things play out because I could see something, you know, again, like foul trouble or something like that where they're like, hey, like we need you to come off this screen and knock the shot down instead of like throwing it over to somebody in the corner. And I feel like he can do it either way. Like I feel like he can do anything.
Yeah, and I mean, he set the tone right off the jump. I mean, he got a kick out to the corner and struck the three very first basket of the game. So it's just like, okay, like you can see it's in the blood for that entire family that they don't have any issue stepping up big stages.
Exactly. Staying poised in big stages and not like Williamson and Barrett are flourishing and even Cam was, and it was like Trey Jones, he's not like jealous, he's sitting there like he's like, my squad is stomping Kentucky and that's all I care about.
And I mean, he had an interview with Andy Katz after the game where he said, like, we've been battling each other for these last few months, it's good to like lace up with my guys and go after someone else rather than us beating up on each other.
I saw that. I agree on it, and like you said, like you just said about that interview, I saw where Coach K, I know you saw it too, probably, where he was saying, like, I had a knee surgery last year, and I was away from the team for 8 weeks. I didn't even get to know the team. He said, I've been with this team the whole time. We're, like, so far ahead of schedule that it's not even funny. And I'm like, I'm wondering if that has something to do with how good the defense looks. Obviously different people, but I'm wondering if that has something to do with how good the defense looks, how together everyone looked, and just how, just when they looked over at Coach K and he said, move the ball, stop settling, and then they moved the ball and stopped settling. Like, they listened. They didn't do like Trey Duvall and laugh at him and then turn it over seven more times. So I wonder if that's because they – obviously, everyone except for Duvall has Coach K's respect. Like, they respect Coach K. But these guys, they've been with him every day up until now. Maybe it's even a little more enhanced.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, it also, I think it helps with how, I don't know the exact phrase, like how public they all were about coming out, where they were banded together right away. So, I mean, that continuity before they even get on the campus, I mean, you just skip a step where it's like, oh, getting to know my teammates, blah, blah, blah. They're already friends. They're already talking all the time. So it's just like, we're going to mold the Coach K system. So it made it an easy transition.
Yeah, it really did seem like before they got to Duke, like they had already went everywhere together for like the first 6 months before they even got to Duke. I know what you're saying. And the last time that was the case basically was the whole, you know, Jahlil, Grayson, Justice, and Tyus thing. And then it was like they were all cool and everything. Well, I know, you know, Grayson and Justice started off weird, but they were all close and everything. And then it was like Quinn Cook meshed them together. This team, it feels like it doesn't even need a mesh. They're that different. They're that unique.
Yeah, and I don't know how much you've been watching, like, the ESPN Plus, the 8-part series about that, but they're like, yeah, we genuinely enjoy being around each other, which I know that always isn't the case, especially when you're together every single day for basically all hours of the day. It could, your teammates can kind of wear on you. So the fact that I obviously understand that they're not going to be bashing their teammates on ESPN in a documentary series, but it's just that they're young and they don't have like their own personal agendas, and they're just out there playing and killing it, honestly.
Yeah, and I agree that they're not going to say otherwise on camera, but at the same time, like before past years, like you can see it. You can tell that they're not lying. And also, like, it's impressive because they're just 18-year-old kids. They have, I'm sure, like, Zion has 2 million followers on Instagram. I would have a gigantic ego so big that you probably...
I mean, you have Drake wearing your jersey at concerts. I mean...
I know. Like, you couldn't tell me nothing. You couldn't talk to me. I would not respect you. It would be bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I don't know if I've ever seen as many people in a pregame have their phones out, taking videos, taking pictures, just like hoping Zion did something crazy in the layup line.
Yeah.
I mean, and I told you that my section was about 75-80% Kentucky people, and literally around me, I think I saw like 10 phones out just around me, and I think one of them was a Duke person. I'm just like, okay, like, a little bit of jealousy factor there too.
Yeah, he's gonna be one of the ones that goes pro after this year, and they say the same thing as like Kyrie. Everyone's like, oh yeah, I like Kyrie, plus he only played 11 games at Duke, and they're gonna say, oh, I like Zion, he's one of my favorite players. I mean, he's only at Duke for a year, so what's it even matter? The thing that's gonna tie it together is if they can win a championship. It's like, yeah, he stamped his mark on Duke. Like, it wasn't just a I'm here and I'm gone. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, obviously, just recent example, like Grayson obviously has like a stronger bond than Tyus or Jaleel, just because Grayson stayed for years. But they still also, I know you see it a lot where Tyus and Justice and Jaleel would all be super supportive still of Grayson because like that's still their guy. So it's, yeah, I get what you're saying, where it's like, oh, yeah, Kyrie's my favorite Duke guy. Like, that man played, like, barely two hands full of games. But I think these guys being able to actually, like, follow through and make a run in March and then end in April, I think that'll be, like, a big deciding point on how they're viewed.
Yeah, a lot of the one-and-dones have proved that just because it was one-and-done – because they went to go make multiple millions of dollars, that they still love Duke. I mean, Justice, and the other thing is, rehab-wise and training-wise, they have some of the best facilities in the world. So, or
oh,
at least,
and they're always back there.
Yeah, exactly. That gives another reason to come back. And you know, I mean, so that's fine with me. Especially if the one and done thing works out, I love it. If it doesn't, like, it pisses me off so bad.
Yeah, I know. It can get frustrating at times. You have to, that's why it's so tough keeping up with recruiting. I'm just like, well, this is like the first year I got to take a look at them, and then second year is basically when they're at Duke and then they're out. So
I know.
That's real difficult.
That's almost why I stopped, and it was like this year I was so busy during the summer that I almost like fell out of love with Duke, and I was like, oh, another one and done year for a lot of people, like, this sucks, I'm tired of it, and all these things. And then the first game happened, and then I'm like, fuck all that I just said. I'm right back in it.
I'm back in it.
So that's that. I apologize for how I acted this summer. But yeah, it was very impressive. And then the funniest part of the game, I think, was Javon Delorier. When they threw him the fast break and he, like,
oh god,
he did the fucking Cupid shuffle.
It was everyone just like lost their mind. It was groans from Duke fans and then just like laughing from Kentucky fans.
Like, my man,
just, like,
what are you
doing? You're still down a 20 piece, so I mean, you shouldn't get too riled up about it, but. Oh, he got a little bit too excited.
And I think he picked up the quickest three fouls like that I've ever seen in my life. I was like, poor man.
Yeah, exactly. And then got yanked. I know he didn't play. I think he played like around 20 minutes or something. Nothing wild, but
12 minutes, 0 for 0 field goals, 3 rebounds, 4 fouls, 0 points.
And that, you already know that turnovers in there too.
Yeah. Like, I just need you to play defense and like not look like you've never played basketball before. If you can do that, you're playing your role perfect on this team.
Yeah, exactly. Fly around, get a few deflections. That's about it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be something to watch out for. He might lose minutes to Justin Robinson at this point.
You don't know. He's got a clip in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. O'Connell, he looked good in his limited time. I don't know. I think he could squeeze some minutes in there somewhere. I really like him. And, like, next year he's going to be, I think, a huge piece. I like he's just smooth from you find him in the corner or wherever he is, like his shot form, it just looks like it's got a great chance to go in every time.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with not having really any specific knockdown shooter. I mean, the last few years you had Kennard, you had Grayson. I mean, Tyus was usually very reliable from three. And even though it makes you cringe sometimes, Matt Jones could knock down the occasional three ball, but
keyword occasional.
Occasional, but I mean, if you can get O'Connell like posted up in that corner and just have him sit in there with his hands and feet ready to knock it down, have Zion kick to him, Cam kick to him, collapsing off him, have RJ, have Trey. I mean, like the options are limitless.
Yeah, they showed in 11 minutes that he played, he hit 3 threes. Like, they will find him. If he's out there, they'll find him.
He's not a big guy, but I mean, he's big enough where he can get his shot off without any issues.
Yeah, definitely look out for him for like that Andre Dawkins role where it's like a home, it's like a home game at Wake against Wake Forest on a Saturday at 1 p.m. and he hits 9 threes.
He just pours them in.
Yeah, that's how he reminds me of. But he's also got like the swag. Like, you can tell he's confident when he gets in there that he's not really scared of anything. So I like that.
I mean, if you're rocking the old Toronto Scott fours around Durham, then I feel like you got to have a little bit of that swagger to you.
Yeah, and to go in any part of Durham, not Duke, and be white and wearing those and not get them snatched, also congratulations, because it's a bold move.
Yeah, it's risky, but I mean, he can rock it.
Yeah, definitely. I can't believe I just said that, but anyways. You got to keep your head on a swivel in Durham. I'm not kidding. It's like that out here.
Yeah, I mean, probably once you stray away from campus, it probably gets a little sketch.
You take one wrong right turn and you're like, where the hell am I at? And why are all these people surrounding my car? I'm not kidding. It's like that.
That's wild.
Yeah,
that's
Duke, wild. Duke looks like a movie scene. It looks like some Harry Potter shit. And then...
Oh, it really... That's what... When I tell people about, like, going to campus, I said it legit is like Hogwarts. I mean, you're like, walking around with all these stone buildings and stuff.
Yeah, it's so cool there, man. I love it there. God. Presley was asking me if we wanted to go to the Carolina Duke football game. I was thinking about it, but it's at like 12 p.m. and it's supposed to be kind of cold. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't get the same nostalgia as
basketball. It's tough too.
Yeah. But it is a sick setup, like how the football field's right
there.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a good setup.
Yeah. And I mean, baseball field's not too far away either.
Nope, not at all. Do you know when they play again?
Duke?
Yeah.
They play Sunday. They play Army at 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's at Cameron, right?
Yeah. And then they play, I think they have one more game before Maui. I think they play Eastern Michigan.
So basically two good sort of, not warm-up games, but two good tune-ups. Stay fresh.
Yeah, exactly.
And then out to Maui, which we'll have a lot to talk about for that. I'm stoked for that.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a good one. It's a pretty good lineup this year.
Yeah, I know. What is it? Gonzaga's in there, right?
Duke opens up with San Diego State.
That's not bad either. They're not bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else is out there. Look it up quick.
I'm not sure, but I know I would love to beat the shit out of Gonzaga. That's all I know.
I know, especially with it being they're number three right now, aren't they?
They're up there. Pretty high. Yeah, they're up there from, I can't remember off the top of my head, but they're up there, I saw.
So I think this is like the first year that Chaminade isn't in it. It's Auburn, Xavier, Duke, San Diego State, Arizona, Iowa State, Gonzaga, and then Illinois.
So just a bunch of teams I don't care about.
Yeah, probably the big ones, obviously, Gonzaga, Arizona, Duke, and, Auburn's on the up-and-up with Bruce Pearl, so that can be interesting. Not really sure much about Xavier since they lost Chris Mack. They still obviously got some of their guys around there, but not to the caliber, I think, in years past.
Yeah, that's going to be a nice little tournament, though. I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be a good one.
The court and the setup there is so weird. It's like,
looks like an AAU gym.
Yeah, like it looks like some mermaid shit. Like it's dim lighted, small. It definitely looks like they're in Maui. And last time they were there, wasn't that when Tyler Thornton hit a bunch of like big threes?
Yeah.
So it's been a minute.
It has been a long time. I think that they last time they played there, I think they won.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they've ever lost the tournament there. I could be wrong. Am I wrong?
Let me check there.
I'm not sure, but I feel like that's what I heard. I could be wrong. Don't hold me to it.
I
can't remember like anything these days, so it doesn't matter. But I remember that last time they were there, it was like Tyler Thornton hit a bunch of big threes and like everybody.
I do remember that. Yeah, I do remember that. Let's see. Last time they were there was 2011, and they won it that year. And then it's been a while since they were there before that. They were there in 2001, and they won it then, too.
So they may have never lost it, and that's a long time.
Won in 97, too. Won in 92. So they have a pretty good history there.
Yeah. I'm going to have to guess they're definitely somewhat the heavy favorites right now. Mm-hmm. It'll still be good to see.
Especially after Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely. It'll still be good to see the how they tune up in these next two games. And then also, I wonder ranking-wise what they're going to do. And I hate that we didn't get to just turn around the next day and stomp Kansas, too.
Yeah, do a little more of like an invitational style. That would have been nice.
Yeah, I'm in a little bit of pain still from last year, so I would have liked to gave them what they deserve.
Yeah, I don't know if I've taken the Duke loss harder than I took last year's tournament game, because the ball that Grayson shot in regulation should have went in twice.
Yeah, I know it. It was like slow motion for me. I was sitting there staring at it, and it was just like moving around, and then like some magnetic god like knocked it out. And
just smacked it out of there.
I was just, from then on, I was like, it's overtime, but the momentum is completely gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't know if there's anything that we didn't cover as far as this team. I mean, the sky's the limit, but also we've said that before, and you know, you just never know. It's such a short season, and then tournament time, one loss means everything. One injury changes mm-hmm. everything. So, but I'm very happy with game one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's it. Also, the way they got stops and pushed the pace, I'm just going to say that right there. Like, that's everything to me. Other teams have got stops and then not pushed the pace, and that pisses me off so bad. Because it was mm-hmm. like they always let the defense set up. And I'm sitting there like, you're Frank Jackson or you're Grayson Allen or whoever you are, Tatum. It's like, push the pace because now they're set up and now we're just going to pass the ball around until there's 2 seconds left on the shot clock and throw up a contested mid-range. So
I think that highlights kind of what you said earlier where multiple guys can take the ball up. I mean, you have usually at any time 4 guys that can take the ball and just run straight up the middle and then just wreak havoc from there on. I mean, I think the run situation, even the starting lineup, it was Marquise and then Cam, Zion, RJ, and Trey. And those are 4 guys that have no issue bringing the ball up the floor and making a play. So that highlights that. And I mean, they were dang near unstoppable in transition offense.
Yeah. As long as they keep that up, I don't see a team that can outscore them. And I don't know of any team because I don't research it. Maybe we'll see some as the season develops. I don't know a team that just has anything for them defensive-wise to where it's like so many other teams are relying on one or two guys to be everything for them. So,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, those teams have beat us plenty of times. I mean, plenty of times. But,
yeah.
I mean, Boston College last year, perfect example. But I don't know right now who is going to contend with that, at least, like, night in and night out.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think the one thing that presents an issue is someone that, similar to Kansas and having a big, big rim protector. Azubuike is down there, and he's just an absolute mountain down there. He's fairly agile, at least roaming the paint. But I think that's where Duke could really take advantage, get him into transition, get him tired, and then kind of work from there. But because Reed Travis really isn't that, like, yeah, he's big, he's strong, but, I mean, he's not like a fierce rim protector that's going to swat your shot.
And he still did, like, well, I don't know about defensively.
Yeah, he had 22, I think.
Yeah, like, so that's – I don't know if that's a worry because, I mean, somebody's got to get it. But what you're saying, a really skilled big guy, even like a fifth-year mm-hmm. senior white guy who has good post moves, like even that can give trouble on the offense.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much defensive, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All right, so that's kind of wraps it up. I feel like that was pretty solid. We're at, 59 minutes, I think? That's solid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to put this all together. Never done a phone interview. If the audio sounds completely ass, I'm going to post it anyway.
Yeah.
I just got to bear with me. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
The most solid time to, like, talk about this stuff half the time is because I drive a lot. And I brought my little handheld thing in the car, and I was recording it. And I got home, and I played it back, and it is so fine-tuned that it picks up crazy amounts of noise in the background.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like I was in an airplane with the windows busted out. So I was like, damn it. So
yeah, that's not gonna work.
Yeah, that's why I'm hoping this is gonna.
You hit the rumble strip. It probably sounds like someone's putting bolts in the side of your car.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it was like. Explosions going off.
Yeah. Exactly.
So anyway, whoever they'll give feedback on this, and we'll just go from there. But it was definitely solid.
Yeah.
Definitely. We'll link back up, and we'll cover.
Yeah, for sure.
So they play Sunday. So we'll have plenty to go up next week as well.
Yeah, for sure. They play Sunday, and then I'm trying to think, what was the other date that I said? They play the 11th, and they play the 14th, so they play on Sunday and then Wednesday. So, like, if you want to do, I can do another Thursday, if that works for you.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would be solid for me.